Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Walk Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're going from Genesis to Revelation, one book at a time, but in chronological order. We're in the book of Leviticus, a book that nobody reads. I bet people my whole life, people who are ministers, and say, have you ever read the book of Leviticus? Well, I had to in school, but I don't remember much about it because it's not a name dropping book. It's all the law, why God asked you to do something and the reason for doing it and the details in doing it. And it gets real detailed. It's like, whoa, it's deep. It's deep. But I tell everybody, I've ever ministered to, every minister I've ever met, taught in Bible school for a while, guys, you need to read the book at least one time. So you have an understanding of what it took to get into the presence of God. Because to come before God, you had to bring certain sacrifice, sprinkle the blood a certain way, a certain place. Priest had to be with that sin. He had to take your offering before God. He walked into the Holy of Holies with a rope tied around his ankle. Because if he ever walked there with sin, he had dropped dead. So if you're the priest, you've gone through the priest ceremony stuff, hopefully your heart was right when you did it. Because if you go behind that curtain with sin in your life, you're going to drop dead. The reason you had a rope tied around your ankle was nobody else could go in there because they had sin. So priest goes in and says, he's been gone an awful long time. Well, put a tug on the rope. And you end up pulling the rope out and the priest is dead. He fell dead when he went into the presence of God because you can't go into the presence of God with sin in your life. So that's why they had all the ceremonies of presenting himself, you know, offering for this sin and offering this sin. The priest had to clean himself up before he went into God with the sins of the people. And it was just all detail. So in Leviticus, you read about all this detail. Like, whoa. Because God will not tolerate, cannot tolerate sin. God and sin do not serve the same purpose. They're not in the same place. God is a sinless God. And that's why we've got a Savior named Jesus who died on the cross, who came out of the grave, who went to heaven, laid his blood on the altar of heaven. So now we can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy up in time of need. When you do it and you do it and you read it and you read it, people ask us, where'd you learn the Bible? Well, I went to two great Bible schools. I really did. And learned a lot. But learned about by teaching a chapel class. I taught high school kids a Bible class 171 days a year for 10 years. So for 10 years, 171 days a year, 30 minutes a day, I'm teaching a Bible class. We went from Genesis to Revelation in 171 days. Now, I tell people, if you go from Genesis to Revelation, 10 times in 10 years, you sort of get the big picture that God's good, the devil's bad, and people are stupid. And so we're trying to get past the stupidity. And so God made a way for us to enter his presence in the Old Testament, and he made a better way in the New Testament. We have a new and better covenant. It's a better covenant than the old covenant. Old covenant was good, but this one's much better, much, much better. And so we can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. And so when you realize that, you realize, you finally understand why Christians are so passionate about God, have quit jobs and given up lifestyles and gone overseas and served as missionaries in very uncomfortable places. Why? Their love for God. They got themselves a revelation. God loves me just like I am, sin and all. I can run boldly to the throne of grace. There are people you meet who want to spend the rest of their life giving their life to God by doing what? Serving their fellow man. Doesn't make any sense to that. What kind of idiot are you? No, you're not an idiot. He's a born-again spiritual Christian who wants to serve his fellow man. So today, we're in the book of Leviticus, one of the least popular books in the Bible, but it's really good. You ought to read it one time. It's very entertaining. It really is. Get a good translation. I still study the King James, but I do not speak King James. So people ask me now, what translation do you read? Well, I read the New Living Translation. It's like a greased banana peel. It's real slick. New Living Translation in modern English. And so I speak modern English. I don't speak King James. I've studied it. I still study it, but I don't speak it. I speak this. So when I read my regular Bible reading, I read my New Living Translation. When I teach seminars across the country, I teach out of the New Living Translation. So it's really good to easy to understand, because many times in church, you got three kinds of people. People that aren't saved, people that barely saved, people been saved a long time. But either way, you need to read a translation they're going to understand. So we're reading out of Leviticus chapter 11 today, talking about clean and unclean animals. Because again, you got to bring an animal for a sacrifice, but you just can't throw anything on the grill. There's a reason for this stuff. So chapter 11, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Of all the land animals, these are the ones you may not use for food. These are the ones you may use for food. You may eat any animal that has completely split hooves and choose to cut. You may not, however, eat the following animals that have split hooves or that chew the cud, but not both. The camel chews the cud, but does not have split hooves, so it is ceremonially unclean for you. The oryx chews the cud, but does not have split hooves. It is unclean. The hare chews the cud, but does not have split hooves. It is unclean. The pig has evenly split hooves, but does not chew the cud. It is unclean. You may not eat the meat of these animals or even touch their carcasses. They are ceremonially unclean for you. Now we know in the New Testament, Peter's just he's a Jew. He knows the law and he's doing it. And so God has a sheet come down. He's the New Testament now, and he's being challenged by the Apostle Paul, who was also a ceremonial Jew. But the sheet comes down out of heaven to Peter, and it's full of all kinds of animals, clean and unclean. And God speaks to Peter, kill and eat, Peter, kill and eat. But he says, Lord, I can't. They're unclean animals. No, kill and eat. What I made is clean. So in essence, God said, you can eat pork. You can eat the rabbit. You eat the split hooves. I've made it clean. Ooh, that's so good. So verse 9, of all the marine animals, these are the ones you may use for food. You may eat anything from the water that has both fins and scales, whenever taken from salt water or from streams. But you must never eat animals from the sea or from the river that does not have both fins and scales. They're detestable to you. This applies both to the little creatures that live in the shallow water and all creatures that live in the deep water. They will always be detestable to you. You must never eat meat or even touch their dead bodies. Any marine animal that does not have both fins and scales is detestable to you. Now, I've known people all my life that read through the Old Testament, very good teachers, very good students, and they'll get this, and so they won't eat. I've met some people who won't eat meat at all because they say, well, we don't eat meat, we get to heaven, so we're not going to eat it now. Well, you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater because God told Peter, kill and eat. You can eat anything. It's all sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And so, verse 13, these are the birds that are detestable to you. You must never eat them. The vulture, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcons of all kinds, ravens of all kinds, the eagle owl, the short-eared owl, the seagull, hawks of any kind, the little owl, the kamamarat, the great owl, the barn owl, the desert owl, the Egyptian vulture, the stork, herons of all kinds, and the bat. Yeah, I do not permit you to eat any of these. So you can't eat a bat. You know, I know some country people that kill bats before and eat them. And so this is the old covenant. No, these are all unclean. You must not eat winged insects that walk along the ground. They are detestable to you. You may, however, eat winged insects that walk along the ground and have jointed legs so they can jump. The insects you are permitted to eat include all kinds of locusts, ball locusts, crickets, grasshoppers, and other winged insects along the ground that are detestable to you. So he's saying, You can eat these, but you can't eat these. You can eat these, but you can't eat these. The fallen creatures will make you ceremonially unclean. If you touch any of their carcasses, you will be defiled until evening. If you pick up the carcasses, you must wash your clothes, for everything you touch will remain defiled until evening. Any animal that has split hooves and are not evenly divided, that does not chew the cud, is unclean for you. If you touch the carcasses of such an animal, you'll be defiled. Of the animals that walk on all fours, those that have paws that are unclean, if you touch the carcass of such an animal, you'll be defiled until the evening. If you pick up its carcass, you must wash your clothes. You will remain defiled until the evening. These animals are unclean to you. Of all the small animals that scurry along the ground, these are unclean for you. The mole rat, the rat, large lizard of any kind, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the common lizard, the sand lizard, the chameleon, all these animals are unclean for you. If you even touch the dead body, such an animal, you will be defiled until the evening. If such an animal dies and falls on something, that object will be unclean. This is true whether the object it was made of wood or cloth or leather or burlap. Whatever you use, you must dip in water and it will remain defiled till the evening. And it will be ceremonially unclean for you to ever be used again. If such an animal falls into a clay pot, put everything in the pot that's in there will be defiled. The pot must be smashed. The water from such a container spills on any of the food, it will be defiled. Any beverage of such container will be defiled. Any object, such a carcass of animal falls, it'll be defiled. And it'll be the open hearth that must be destroyed, for it is defiled. You must treat it accordingly. I know it's a lot of detail, but he was a detailed guy. God said, the hairs of my head are numbered. Why, I don't know, but God said so. So God's a very detailed God. He was trying to tell them, guys, there's some things you cannot do, you can never do. There's certain things you can do, and you can do all the time. So just be obedient to the word of God. However, if the carcass of such an animal falls to a spring or a cistern, the water will still be clean, but anyone who touches the carcass will be defiled. If the carcass falls on seed grain to be planted in the field, the seed will be considered clean, but if the seed is wet when the carcass falls on it, that seed will be defiled. If an animal you are permitted to eat dies, you touch its carcass, it will be defiled until the evening. If you eat any of its meat or carry away any of its carcass, you must wash your clothes. You will remain defiled until the evening. All small animals that scurry along the ground are detestable. You are never to eat them. This includes animals that slither on their bellies, as well as those who have four legs with many feet. All such animals that scurry along the ground are detestable. You must never eat them. Do not defile yourselves by touching them. You must make yourself ceremonially clean. Now, why are you reading this? Well, there's a reason. It's almost through. It's a little bit more. For I am the Lord your God. You must consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. So do not defile yourselves with any of these small animals that scurry along the ground. For I, the Lord, am the one who brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I might be your God. Therefore, you must be holy because I am holy. These are the instructions regarding the land animals, the birds, the marine creatures, the animals that scurry along the ground. By these instructions, you will know what is unclean and what is clean, which animals may be eaten, which animals you may not eat. That is a lot of do and don't. But God's real detail. He knew what he was doing and why he was doing it. So God says, listen, there's a reason for all this. Now, ceremonially, you know, people that have done studies, medical people, certain animals carry disease a lot easier than others. For example, lobster, a shrimp, you know, things that crawl on the bottom. You weren't allowed to eat any of that thing, the Old Testament. But today we have seafood restaurants that specialize in lobsters and shrimp, fried shrimp, all the shrimp you can eat tonight. Well, at one time that was an unclean creature. Well, not anymore. You know, we have whole restaurants that serve unclean creatures. And we're not offended by it at all because we've grown up in a society that, well, you like shrimp. Oh, everybody loves shrimp. I'm Louisiana. I love Cajun shrimp. I love lobster. You like lobster? Well, I've been to Maine and I've eaten at a lobster restaurant where you have big old lobsters. And they come out live and they dip them in the bowl of water and they die slow and they bring them out and they prepare them as food. But at one time, the old covenant did not permit such a thing. And you had to be obedient to the word of God. And so what confuses people, well, did God change his mind? No, he did not. He had a group of people that were sinners. They'd never been under any law. They never knew any commandment. That's why God started with 10. Now, there were 613 laws. God started with 10. And they couldn't keep the 10. Nobody could go through a whole week and keep the 10 commandments. They'd sin. They'd repent. They'd sin. They realized, we can't keep the law. The whole purpose of giving the law was to teach us as humans, you can't keep it. That's why he gave it. You can't keep it. It's going to cost you every bull and goat you've ever had. And you realize, we can't keep this. Thank you. You finally have a revelation. So then he sent Jesus there to die for mankind. So it's our faith in what Jesus did, not what we do. That's a great revelation. Our faith in what Jesus did, not what we do. And I still run into Christians from time to time around the country who are hung up on the law. Well, you know, we only go to church on the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath actually in the Old Covenant is on Saturday, not on Sunday. You know, people won't eat pork any day of the week, you know. So, well, God told Peter, kill and eat, kill and eat. And so you got to get the entire gospel, the whole Bible, from beginning to end to get a revelation of what it was God was looking for, and what he's trying to do. He loves his mankind, but he knows his mankind will sin at the drop of a hat. So when he had these people, and that's why the whole old covenant is a group of people that God, they would sin and repent, and they'd sin, they'd repent, they'd sin, they'd repent. And they're in and out of the will of God over and over. That's why when they were down in Egypt for 400 years, you know, and they're down there in slaves stomping on mud, they cried out to God. God help. He said, okay. And he had a woman get pregnant that evening. 9 months later, she had a baby. She named him Moses. And you know the story. The last country Pharaoh died. City Pharaoh took back over. And he realized these Jews are multiplying like rabbits. We got to kill them all. So the Pharaoh made a law to kill every baby boy 2 years of age and under. They're going up and down the Nile River killing Jewish boys 2 years of age and under. How's that kid? Well, he's 14 months. He's dead. And the babies were dying. Hundreds and thousands of babies were dying. You can't even get your head wrapped around how bad it was. They're dying. Why? Because there's too many of you, and we scare the Egyptians. So Moses was hidden by his mom in a basket and floated down by Pharaoh's daughter who couldn't have a baby. Nobody knew that. Didn't have tabloids back then. She picks the baby up and says, hey, I'll tell everybody this is my baby. And so Moses' mother showed up, and Pharaoh's daughter said, who are you? So, well, I'm a mother who's lost her child. She didn't lie. She told the truth. I've lost my child, but my breasts are full of milk, and I'll be glad to nurse that baby for you. So Pharaoh's daughter hires Moses' mother to be the nursemaid of Pharaoh, because God has a great sense of humor. God, nobody outthinks God. So God has the savior of his people to be trained up by the enemy. Who's the greatest school? Well, Pharaoh's got the best school, got the best military, got the strongest army. So I'm going to have him train up my servant. And then when he gets through being trained, when he finds out who he is, he runs off the wilderness and comes back 80 years later. He doesn't use anything that he learned as a Pharaoh, as a Egyptian soldier, as the Egyptian master. He uses everything with a stick. That staff, I used to tell people, man, if they sold those sticks in Walmart, we'd sell out real quick. And so God wants all the honor. God wants all the glory. He'll give us all the blessing, but he wants all the honor, all the praise, all the thanks, all the glory. The Bible says God inhabits praise. God goes where he gets thanked. He doesn't go where he doesn't get thanked. So we need to stay thankful to God and just honor him. and life will go really good, people. I promise you it will. Thanks for listening today. Tune in next time. We'll go through the Bible again. God bless, guys.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.